So, getting into the book of Ezekiel again, and doing just a little bit of a review, I noted last time that some of the meanings of the name Kibar, that canal, they called it a river, but it was actually a man-made canal, where Ezekiel and many of the captives lived. Some of the meanings of its names, or the fact that it was a canal rather than a natural river, shows us that Israel in exile was forced to draw their water, which is typical of their living, from man rather than God. And they were going to live immersed in the world rather than living the separated life that the Lord had called them to. And in chapter 4 of Ezekiel, there's a statement here in verse 13, as he's giving Ezekiel some instructions. He said, "And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them." So that's kind of a confirming of what was happening here. And we talked about the looking glasses of the women in Exodus that they had being taken and fashioned into the laver that the priests washed at in the tabernacle. And speaking of a looking glass or a mirror, in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 3, 2 Corinthians 3, we look into a glass darkly. Yes. And we see interesting and mysterious things as we look into that glass. But we also are told that as we rest in the Lord, mm-hmm. and believe His word, we're being changed into those things that we see from glory to glory.
Amen.
And so tonight, speaking of mirrors, if somebody will go to Job 37, somewhere to Psalm 22, or excuse me, not Psalm 22, Psalm 19. Speaking of mirrors, in Job 37, whoever's there, read verses 14 through 18 for us.
14 through 18?
Mm-hmm. 37, 14 through 18.
"Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed thee, and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm, when he quieteth the earth by the south wind." How far again, I'm sorry? 19?
Through 18.
"No, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and is a molten looking glass?" As a molten looking glass.
Okay. So the Lord here refers to the sky as a firm but molten looking glass, or mirror, which is very interesting. And if you think about the sky, it is firm. It's not going anywhere. And yet,
amen.
When you look at the sky, the patterns are constantly changing. It's like a cup of coffee or hot cocoa being stirred. Everything changes constantly.
Is that what the use of molten? Is it, the molten is kind of a...
Okay. Yep, swirling around. So you can kind of see how the Lord drew that analogy. Whoever's in Psalm 19, verse 1...
"The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork."
Okay. Now, that word mirror is number 7209 in the Strong's Hebrew. And it comes from number, the word is derived from number 7200, which means to see, perceive, watch, discern, inquire into, behold, or be concerned with. And I thought, with that kind of description, it's a very broad and comprehensive word. I thought, how well that describes what the Lord would have us involved in, especially in his word. If somebody will go to Romans 3, someone to 2 Corinthians 3, someone to Colossians 3, and someone to Hebrews 4, whoever gets to Romans 3, verse 30.
Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Seeing, Paul uses that word seeing. See, okay. Seeing it is one God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3, verse 12.
Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Okay. Colossians 3, whoever's there, verse 9.
Why not one to another, saying that you have put off the old man with his deeds?
Okay. Hebrews 4, whoever's there, verse 14.
Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
And then in chapter 7, James, verse 25.
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
Amen.
Seeing he ever lived to make intercession for them.
And then in chapter 12, verse 1.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which correct.
Is that 12:1?
12:1, no.
Okay.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Okay. So as we look into this glass darkly, one of the things we're doing is seeing many things.
Right.
And these references thus far have all come from Paul. Seeing this or seeing that. Do you ever see anything when you look in a mirror?
Amen.
Yeah, we're seeing things, okay? Now, whoever was in 2 Corinthians before, if you go back there again, chapter 3, and someone, whoever was in Colossians 3 to Colossians 2, whoever was in Romans 3 to Romans 9, and someone to 1 Corinthians 15, and whoever's in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18,
read what said Corinthians might as well. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? We're beholding, we're seeing things. And then in chapter 4, Hagen, verse 18.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Okay? So as we look into that glass, we're not looking at this thing. We're going to get to that. And Paul says something later. We're looking at eternal things. Okay? This glass, doesn't reflect natural things. It reflects eternal things. Okay? And then in chapter 10, Hagen, verse 7.
Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ.
Okay. I might have gotten that wrong, but thank you. Colossians 2, whoever's there, verse 5.
For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joining and holding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
Okay. How could Paul do that? If he wasn't physically with them, how could he behold their order? Any idea? Eyes of
faith.
Yes. Okay, Romans 9, whoever's there, verse 33.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay. Aren't you glad that you've been able to behold and do behold that rock? 1 Corinthians 15, whoever's there, verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
That's a wonderful mystery to behold. Okay. And staying there in chapter 16, if you would, Ty, if somebody would go to 2 Corinthians 5 and someone to Philippians 2, and whoever was in Colossians 2, go to Colossians 4. And whoever's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new.
Okay, that's a pretty nice thing to behold.
Yes.
You know? Chapter 6, Hagen, verse 2.
For he saith, I have heard thee any time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Okay. And then verse 9.
As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed.
Amen.
Yeah. As dying, and yet behold, we live. I don't know about anybody else, but every day when I sit up and try to swing my legs out of bed, it's kind of the passing away of this body is very apparent. Everything creaks and hurts as dying, and yet behold, we live.
Right, amen.
Okay, more and more each day.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 16, tie, verse 13.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong.
Okay, so Paul is telling us to watch, to be aware, not of what's going on in this world, but what's going on in this world, to watch. Okay. Philippians 2, whoever's there, verse 4.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Okay. In other words, we are not to be nosy in one another's lives, but we are certainly to pray for one another. The Lord puts people and situations on our heart. Also, Mitch, in chapter 3, verse 20.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Our life is in heaven. And how often does our pastor remind us, don't be looking around, look up. That's where our life is, and that's where we're going. Colossians 4, whoever's there, verse 2.
Continue in prayer and watch and say with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. So a sign, where was that? Today? Maybe on a church billboard. I thought it was interesting. It said, have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, if somebody will go there, 2 Timothy 4, and Hebrews 9. And whoever gets to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch. Watch and listen for that trumpet.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4, whoever's there, verse 5.
But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Amen.
Okay, watch thou in all things. Finally, in Hebrews 9, whoever's there, verse 28.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Unto those that are looking for him. Okay? All right, so to connect the dots here in Ezekiel, we're told back in verse 1 of chapter 1 that Ezekiel saw visions of God. Even the heavens were opened and he saw visions of God. And that word vision, again, is number 4758 in the Strong's Hebrew, and it means a sight, appearance, or vision, a mirror, or a looking glass. And speaking of mirrors, that word mirror comes from a root word which means, again, to see, perceive, watch, discern, inquire into. We're not just to sit on the sidelines and be spectators. We're to dig into. Okay? What is it that's the honor of kings?
Search it out.
To search out a matter. Oh. Okay? To inquire into. To behold or be concerned with. Anybody in here concerned with forever?
Amen.
Where we're going to be, and more importantly, who we're going to be with.
Amen.
That's the meaning of this word, that the word mirror comes from. This is our mirror.
Amen.
And so we see how many things that concern us, the visions that Ezekiel had, we have too. If we're looking in this mirror, we're going to be seeing things.
Amen.
Now, we won't necessarily understand them completely, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned with them or inquire into them or watch or perceive or behold them. Okay? All right. Now, in verse 2 of chapter 1, Ezekiel says, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The fifth day of the fifth year. This tells us that double grace was bestowed upon this prophet. While others around him were languishing in captivity, Ezekiel, whose name means strengthened of God, was being shown mysteries and marvels of God's grace and glory.
Amen.
Okay? And that in itself should be an encouragement to us.
Yes.
God, in this age especially, I don't know if you remember, but Brother Hill said on at least one occasion, if God was interested in numbers, he could raise up another Moses.
Amen.
And get people saved by tens of thousands or millions at a time. He's not interested in numbers in this age. He's interested in quality.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So he's willing to deal with individuals in spite of their surroundings. And he also said many times, God doesn't raise his children in a hothouse. So it shouldn't surprise us that many times we feel like our situation is sort of like Ezekiel's. We're in captivity with a bunch of unbelievers. Okay? But that's not going to limit God. If somebody will go to us back to 2 Corinthians 12, and someone to Isaiah 61, someone to Malachi 3, and whoever gets to 2 Corinthians 12, read verse 9 for us.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee.
Okay. And those infirmities aren't limited to things that are in or about ourselves. Mm-hmm. It can be your situation. We can feel very limited by our situation, but the Lord isn't limited.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to find that out as we go through Ezekiel's prophecy. The Lord did some things in him that were pretty amazing in spite of his circumstances. And in this thought of Ezekiel being shown many, many things by God's grace, I take you back to verse 1. That word opened there in verse 1 is number 6605 in the Strong's Hebrew. And I love this word. It means to open wide, to break forth, let go free, undam a river, open the womb for the first time, or the grave. It's not just like opening a door, opening a book. This is a grand occurrence, this type of opening. Whoever's in Isaiah 61, verse 1.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
The opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Amen.
I don't think anybody in here has ever been in prison, but imagine if you had languished in prison for some time, what it would be like to get released and set free again.
Different type of prisons, though. There's different type of prisons.
Yeah.
Oh,
men,
sure. Yeah. Now my mind always goes back to that.
Yes.
I've told you that before.
Yes.
My mind always goes back to that man that they couldn't keep any chains on. And when Jesus showed up, the next time they saw him, he was clothed and sitting in his right mind. What a deliverance.
Yeah.
Oh, what a deliverance. Okay, whoever, let's have somebody go to Matthew 4, someone to Luke 2, someone to Acts 13, and someone to John 8. And whoever's in Malachi 3, verse 10.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Wow. Imagine the Lord opening the doors of heaven. That's almost an intimidating thought. It might overwhelm us. Matthew 4, whoever's there, verses 12 through 16.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How far?
Through 16.
Okay, extra one there. So.
No worries. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light.
Amen.
Where's in Luke 2, verse 32. Got it.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
Okay, that's speaking, of course, of the Lord. Acts 13, whoever's there, verse 47.
For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Makes you glad to be a Gentile, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Whoever's in, Ty, go to Acts 8 then. Whoever's in John 8, verse 32.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. And then in Acts 8, Ty, verses 35 through 39.
And Philip openeth his mouth and began at the same scripture and preaching in Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
Amen. Is that 39?
39.
Yeah.
And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch sighed no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Yeah, Philip, I got some other things for you to do, but what did the eunuch do? Went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen.
And reading all these verses that the Holy Ghost brought to me in connection with the meanings of this word, I couldn't help but think of this song in the Red Book, number 473. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
Yes.
After I'd wandered in darkness away.
Jesus,
my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart.
Amen.
Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart.
Amen.
Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away,
amen,
and my night was turned to day.
Amen.
Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now, there's one other meaning of this word opened. If somebody will go to Ezekiel 3, and someone else to Job 2, this final meaning, it means to open one's mouth to proclaim something. Represent Ezekiel 3, verse 27.
But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house.
Okay. It means to open one's mouth to,
amen,
proclaim, and according to one commentator, especially after a period of silence. Yes.
Light's on.
Oh.
Turn it down. Probably a little off or something.
That's what plastic does for you.
Well, it's got a, this has a 500 watt bulb in there, I think.
So dinner's ready?
Yep, dinner's ready.
Yeah. So it means to open one's mouth to proclaim, especially after a period of silence. Whoever's in Job chapter 2, read verses 13 through 31.
There's not 13, say, Job 2, 13 through,
mm-hmm, 13 through 31.
There's no 31.
Oh, never mind. 13, obviously. Dyslexic again. Let's see, Job 11 through 13, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
2:11-13.
Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes far off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward him. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
And verse 1 of the next chapter, please.
After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day.
Poor Job. He opened his mouth after a great period of silence.
That because these so-called friends were sitting there for 7 days.
Yeah, if you sat with those three friends for 7 days, you'd probably be ready to curse God.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Tracy. All right. So moving on, here in Ezekiel 1, it says in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Must have been some dead bugs in that lamp. Okay, in this verse is a very curious, mysterious, and marvelous phrase that Ezekiel was inspired to use in describing his opening experience. It says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Now what's curious and interesting is that the phrase came expressly, both words, came and expressly, are the same Hebrew word, as though the Holy Ghost wished to apply double emphasis to God's presence and his declaration. Now, the English definition of expressly, if you look at in a dictionary, the English definition is explicit, directly, or distinctly. Okay, that's what, when we say expressly something, that's what it means. Now what's interesting is that these two words are not translated by James Strong in his work. You won't find these two words if you look in a commentary. They gloss over these two words and don't have a show a word for them. The there's another commentary or concordance called the Brown Driver Briggs by these three men, and they explain this word as being a compound version of the divine name as it was revealed to Moses in Exodus 3. And if somebody would turn there, we'll just look at that real quick. Whoever gets there, verses 12 through 15. Exodus 3, 12 through 15. Someone have it?
And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth people out of, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is my name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Amen.
And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
Hmm. This is my name forever. I am.
I am everything.
If somebody will go and put their finger in 2 Corinthians 10 and someone else in Philippians 2. So the Brown Driver Briggs Concordance translates the divine name as He who will be, I am who I am, or I am inasmuch as I am. There's another concordance dictionary called the Complete Word Study Bible, and the Old Testament dictionary of that shows this word as being, they do give a Hebrew word for it, they show it as being the Hebrew word number 1961 in the Strong's. And it's a verb, an action word, meaning to exist, to be or be with, and to become or be about to become, to come to pass, to take place, or to be done. Now, does that sound a little confusing to anybody? Good. In these meanings, it resembles the Greek word parousia, which is number 3952 in the Strong's Greek. And that word means presence, coming, or arrival. Wait a minute. Coming, presence. To exist, to be with, and to be about to become, to come to pass, to take place, or to be done. The word parousia occurs 24 times in the New Testament. And it's translated coming, like the Lord's coming, 22 of those 24 times. And it's translated presence 2 times. The first time in 2 Corinthians 10, whoever's there, verse 10.
For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible.
That's 2 Corinthians 10:10?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Try verse 11, Mitch.
Let such a one think this, that, such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such as all we be also in deed when we are present.
Okay, here's present. All right. So that's verse 11 rather than 10, sorry. Whoever's in Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2:12.
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay. So here's a word that means a coming, but it also means they've already arrived.
Amen.
Is that confusing to anybody besides me?
Does it go along with the word that God is, I am that I am? Is that what
you're
trying to?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, the idea of coming, the ideas of coming or arrival and presence, which means already here, seem to be at odds, but the Lord is not constrained either by the laws of this universe, i.e. time, or our understanding of him. And this is hinted at strongly in a couple of other places. If somebody will go to Romans 4, someone to Hebrews 2, and someone to Colossians 1. And someone else could go to 1 John 3, and someone to Ephesians 2, and someone to Galatians 2. And whoever gets to Romans 4, verse 17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were.
Calls those things as be not.
Amen.
As though they were.
Amen.
Things like you're already seated with him in the heavens.
Amen.
Now that to me is interesting because I see you sitting right here. But he says we're seated with him.
Amen.
Okay? Does that kind of sort of sound like being present already and yet waiting for an arrival?
Amen.
Hmm.
Amen.
How about Hebrews 2, verse 8?
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him.
Read that again. I'm just kidding, Tom. Now, what did he say? He's put all things under his feet.
Amen.
But yet, we don't see all things put under his feet. Is he the God of the universe?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
And yet, look at the conditions of this world we live in right now. It's worse than Genesis 6. But he's in control.
Yes.
Amen.
Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 17.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
That word consist there is number 4921 in the Strong's Greek. It means to set, to place, to cause to stand.
Praise the Lord.
To join parts together into a whole, or to bring into existence. Now, I don't know how many of you are scientifically minded, but ever since about probably the 1920s, 1930s, physicists have been on this bent, determined to figure out what matter is, what holds us together. And the further they dig into it, the more mysterious it becomes. As an example, you probably, maybe in high school, you all probably learned about the dual nature of light. Depending on what kind of experiment you set up, light behaves like little particles. But if you set up a different experiment, it behaves like waves on water.
Amen.
And you can't deny either one because you've got proof of both. So what are they, particles or waves? Nobody knows. Okay? Now, applied to us, this idea of duality, if you will, we find statements like 1 John 3:2.
Okay. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Hagen, are you any more a son of God at this moment than you're going to be 100,000 years from now?
No.
Now are we the sons of God?
Yeah.
But to be perfectly honest, and no offense, you sure don't look like one to me.
No.
You know, maybe I need to look in this mirror a little longer.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
We are the sons of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
But we sure don't physically look like it yet, do we? But that doesn't change the fact or minimize it in the slightest degree.
Amen.
How about Ephesians 2, verse 6? Anyone have it?
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Okay, we already covered that one. We're seated there.
Yes.
And as far as God's concerned, it's a done deal.
Yes.
Yes.
In Galatians 2, verse 20, we should all love this one.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Okay. Now, like you, I believe that statement by faith.
Amen.
But every time I get in there and start trying to figure it out, I get kind of dizzy. I no longer live. And yet, here I am.
That's right.
Okay. God knows. The duality. Yes, ma'am.
What keeps coming to mind, which is a question too, is omnipresent.
Are we what?
God being omnipresent.
Uh-huh.
I think it's along the same line.
I can.
Is that along the same line?
Absolutely.
Omnipresent, I don't know the scripture, but sure. I know it's true.
Everything about the Lord falls into that category.
He's there, but he's here, same, all-encompassing.
Right.
Yes.
We're told multiple times that he's seated at the right hand of his Father.
Amen.
And yet, I seem to remember that he said, where two or three are gathered, he's there with them.
In the midst.
Hmm. That's presence.
Yeah.
How about time? Time doesn't mean anything to him.
Amen.
He inhabits all of it. And beyond it, time. And omniscient. He knows everything.
Yes.
He knows everything. Wow.
Amen.
And again, going back to a little bit of physics, that means that he knows the state at any given instant. He knows the state of every atom, every one of the 10 to the 23rd atoms that make up the universe. He knows the state of that atom at every instant. Now, that's just one foolish example. He knows every thought you and I will ever think. That kind of knowledge just is... Again, my head starts to get kind of dizzy, so I don't like to go there. If somebody go to Isaiah 55, but my point in all this was, this past few minutes, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
What a marvelous introduction to what Ezekiel is not only about to see, but what he's going to see throughout his period of ministry, and moreover, the things he's going to minister and experience. They're just beyond description. There's no way to, as the human phrase is, there's no way to wrap your head around it. Okay. Isaiah 55, whoever's there, verses 8 and 9.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts.
Okay, that explains a lot of it. I'm content with that explanation for now.
Thank God.
James, did you have a...
You, yeah. You, that word, expressing. And you said they gloss over that word expressively. And the word of the Lord came. And I was thinking when you said, when Moses asked God, who should I say, the way it was brought out, and all I'm going to say, two words, how the reply was to Moses. And I can only imagine when the word of the Lord expressively was spoken to Ezekiel, and that ain't all. And all he said to Moses was, and I can see why they gloss over it, said, God replied to him, I am. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, think of those two little words, I am. Here's the Lord trying to give Moses a name that he can take back to the people. And the Lord thinks, okay, what am I not?
It's true.
I'm all time, I'm all knowledge, I'm all space, if you want to call it space. You know, the only thing I'm not is evil. I'm everything. So Moses, I am.
Amen.
That's the best thing I can give you. You know, without going into a long discourse, I am. Just tell them, I am. Whether it's light or love or life, whatever, I am.
That's it.
That's it. Okay, I hope it was a blessing to you. And Lord willing, hope I gave you some stuff to chew on.
Yes.